Listening practice test 2. You're going to listen to a number of different recordings. You'll have to answer questions on what you hear. You will have time to read the instructions and questions and to check your work. All the recordings will be played once only. The test is in 4 sections. At the end of the test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers onto an answer sheet. Now turn to Section 1. Section 1. You're going to listen to a telephone conversation about libraries. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 5. You'll see that there is an example that has been done for you. The conversation relating to this example will be played first.
Hello, City Council Libraries.
Hello. I wonder if you can help me. I'm a student and I've just moved here and I'd like to know where my local library is and what services it offers.
Yes, I can give you that information. What suburb do you live in?
Gosford.
Okay, well, actually, that library is closed for renovations. There are 5 libraries in the surrounding suburbs, though, and they're all about the same distance from you.
J is the correct answer. Now let's begin. You should answer the questions on the question sheet while you listen, because you will only hear the recording once. Now listen and answer questions 1 to 5.
Hello, City Council Libraries.
Hello. I wonder if you can help me. I'm a student and I've just moved here and I'd like to know where my local library is and what services it offers.
Yes, I can give you that information. What suburb do you live in?
Gosford.
Okay, well, actually, that library is closed for renovations. There are 5 libraries in the surrounding suburbs, though, and they're all about the same distance from you.
I see. Well, are they all the same?
No, they're not. They all have slightly different services and facilities. Let's start with Ashfield Library.
Okay.
Ashfield can send books out in the post, so it's very useful for borrowers who are housebound or who don't have the time to visit the branch.
Well, that sounds good, but I'd rather go myself. Is it open on Sunday?
It used to be, but not since last July. I'm afraid the only one of the 5 which is open Saturday and Sunday is Carlton.
Ah, that's useful to know. OK. Another thing I was wondering was whether any of the libraries have computers with internet access I could use.
Well, all of the city libraries have online computers. The difference is in whether you have to make a booking or not. Now, of the 5 in your area, only Springfield allows you to just go in and use anyone that's free. Reservations aren't necessary there.
Do they all have printers as well?
No, none of these have printers. There's one at Moss Down, but that's further to travel. Okay, what's next? I haven't said anything about Paddington. Ah, Paddington might be useful because it has quiet rooms, especially for students.
Oh, really? Do any of the other branches have that?
No, that's the only one where you can book a separate room to study in.
Okay.
The last branch is Brookside. This caters more for young readers and it has a special story time for children every week.
Ah, that's nice. I don't think I'll be needing that.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 6 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 6 to 10.
You know, it sounds like a library's information pack might be useful for you. Would you like me to send you one?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll just need to take a few details from you. What's your name, first of all?
John Bonham. That's B-O-N-H-A-M.
Okay, and your postal address?
Well, I'm in short-term accommodation at the moment, so it's probably best if I give you my P.O. Box number. So it's P.O. Box 451, Gosford.
Okay, I've also got a few survey questions which help us provide good customer service. Do you mind if I ask them?
No, go ahead.
All right. What's your date of birth?
29 January 1984.
Thanks for that. Now, you're a student, but what's your highest level of education?
I'm studying for an MA in accounting.
Okay, I'll put down master's degree. And one last question. Which section of the library are you most likely to use?
Well, I have a lot of assignments to do, so definitely the journals.
Okay. Thanks, John. So the information pack will be in the post.
That's great. Thanks for your help. Bye.
Bye.
That is the end of section one. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. Section 2. You will hear a talk given to some employees about computer health and safety. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 16. Now listen and answer questions 11 to 16.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for coming along to this talk on computer health and safety. I know everyone here uses a computer in their everyday work, and that you probably already know of some of the health problems associated with them. But today we're going to look at a couple of issues which you may not yet be aware of. First of all, some people have been complaining recently of eye strain, and in particular, a few people have suffered from dry eyes. This isn't usually a summer problem, but is quite common during winter, and luckily is something that can easily be prevented. There are humidifiers available for all staff to use, which release steam to solve this problem. However, if you would prefer a more natural approach, the management has agreed to purchase plants for any office that would like some. I believe spider plants are particularly good at cleaning the air and keeping it moist. So, if anyone would like one of the humidifiers or some plants for their office, there's an order form here for each option. So I'll get you to jot down your room number on the relevant form. The other thing I wanted to mention about eye care is that a testing program has been arranged for all members of staff, and everyone is encouraged to take advantage of this free service. The optician will be with us for the week starting from May 15th. This visit was going to start on the 22nd, and some of you may have already heard that date, but she's had to put it forward a week. So there's a booking form here for that as well. The optician would also like you to check the distance between your eyes and the computer screen when you're seated in a normal working position. So try to get that done before your appointment if you can. Probably easiest if one person sits and someone else does the measuring. Oh yes, and if anyone will be away during that period, but would still like to have a test done, we can arrange an appointment for you at her city centre clinic.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 17 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 17 to 20.
Okay, so that's all I wanted to say about avoiding eye strain. Now I want to turn to the issue of laptops. Some of you started using a laptop 6 months ago when we made our initial purchase of portable machines. And then again last month when the second shipment arrived, more of you made the switch. So already a lot of people are using one for all their day-to-day work. In fact, I know that in some departments, everyone now has one. For example, sales is now fully portable, and the marketing department is moving in that direction. We have noticed a few potential health hazards associated with this trend, and I just want to mention a few of them now. First, there is the fact that you cannot adjust the distance between the keyboard and the screen. So remember to connect your laptop to your desktop computer to use its monitor and external keyboard whenever you can. And be careful when you're doing it, as it's a surprisingly common cause of electric shocks. My final point relates to transporting your heavy laptops, and I know many of you do carry them a lot. Using one hand, which we all do, can place an unequal load on your body and be a cause of injury to wrists, arms, neck, back, and even knees. We have special backpacks available for anyone who needs one, so let me know if you're interested. Okay, well that's all I wanted to cover today, and we still have a few minutes left, so does anyone have any questions?
That is the end of section 2. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. Section 3. You're going to listen to a conversation about a student's essay. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 23. Now listen and answer questions 21 to 23.
Now, Sarah, what would you like to work on in our tutorial today? We can go over the first draft of your assignment on what babies can do if you like.
Oh, yes, please. I'd really like some help with it. It's the first essay I've written since high school.
Is it really? Well, for a first assignment, this is a good attempt. I can suggest some changes that you could make before you submit your final draft, to make your essay more academic.
All right. Well, can we go through them together?
Sure. Now, if we look at the content, you've demonstrated a sound understanding of the course materials. In the first section, for example, you were asked to come up with 5 points in response to the essay title, Young Babies Can Do More Than We Often Give Them Credit For.
Were my points relevant, do you think?
Yes, they were fine. The point about young babies is particularly true.
You mean this one, not all babies develop in the same way? Yes, certainly in my experience that's the case. What about section 2? I found it harder to do because I had to find evidence to support the points I'd made in section 1.
Yes, you've generally done that. It's good to see you drawing on Thompson and Finney's case study of baby Mia in this part. Except I don't think that this quote here about Mia supports your ideas. Mia is a delicate baby. It's best just to leave that quote out, I think.
Well, I thought it was important because it might affect how her family treat her, and that might affect her development.
True, but the influence of the family wasn't one of your 5 points in the previous section.
Ah, I see your point. I'll drop that.
Yes. Now, in this final part of your essay, you've discussed your points and the evidence that you found, and the conclusions that you've drawn are clear.
Great. So nothing to change here?
Well, there is a stylistic problem here in this part, where you're talking about all of the things that we used to believe about very young babies. Now, it's best to avoid bullet points in assignments.
Oh, so should I try to turn them into full sentences?
Yes, definitely.
OK, well, thank you for the feedback. I'll make those changes.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 24 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 24 to 30.
Was there anything else that you noticed about my essay?
Yes. Whilst I think you've tried to put some of the points in your own words, you have drawn quite closely on the course materials, and I've noticed some problems with referencing.
Yes, when it came to collecting evidence, I wasn't sure if I was using it in the right way. I didn't really know if I should quote everything or whether I could use my own thoughts about babies.
Yes, well, why don't we look at your essay again and help you integrate your quotes? I've highlighted some examples where the referencing is a problem. Look at this point about pain and very young babies. Now, where did you find this?
Oh, well, I remember that I was surprised when I read it. I didn't know that before. It was in the Thompson and Finney article.
So this is their idea, then?
Yeah, but I tried to say it in my own words.
OK, but even if you wrote it in your own words, you still need to give a reference.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Now, what about this bit? About newborn babies' responses to sensory stimuli.
You mean the idea that even newborn babies respond to what they see and hear around them?
Yes, that's it. Now, this is a crucial finding. It's also from Thompson and Finney, isn't it?
Yes.
Did you realise that you used exactly the same wording as they did?
Oh no, I didn't mean to do that.
It's an easy mistake to make, but you must show that it's a direct quotation.
OK, so I'll put quotation marks around that sentence.
Yeah. Now, the point about how babies develop at different speeds, I was pleased to see that you used some of your own personal experience in this essay.
You mean the twins? Yes, I wasn't sure if I could talk about my own children, but I thought it was relevant.
Yes, in fact, it would be interesting if you could go further and give a couple of brief examples of the differences in their development.
Oh, OK then, I'll do that.
Now, there's a nice example here about how Mia responds to temperatures and textures, which is a good example to use, but again...
No reference? I see now that even if I give the example in my own words, I still need to say where I found it.
Exactly. You've summarised what Thompson and Finney said, which is fine, but you still need to indicate that it's their idea. It's good evidence, so keep it in your essay, but don't forget to give a reference. I can see that you're able to give references correctly because you've done it correctly here, where you're talking about how babies can communicate before they can speak. This is a nice quotation from Mia's sister, Daisy.
Yes, she describes the different cries that Mia has. Short cries, when she's hungry, and long cries, when she's uncomfortable. I wanted to use Daisy's exact words here because she's only a child and I like her description. It was very cute.
Yes, well, it's good evidence. And it's good to see you've used quotation marks and given the name of the authors, the date of publication, and the page number.
Thanks, Mr. Adams. I think I understand referencing better now. But I want to get it completely right in my final draft. Do you know where I can find some information about it?
Well, I suggest you check the assignment booklet for this course first. There's some useful pages there.
Oh, I did that.
Well, if you need more information, you can log on to the university website and go to the Learning Assistance page. You'll find a very useful guide there on avoiding plagiarism. You can also find referencing guides in the library.
Perhaps a book would be more comprehensive. I'll try there now. Mr. Adams, thanks again for all your help.
Not at all. That's what a tutorial's for. I'm sure you'll produce a very good second draft. Now, don't forget to put in a page giving all the sources you referred to in your assignment, in alphabetical order.
You mean a bibliography?
That's right. It goes at the end of the paper. I can see you've already included a cover page with your name, the essay topic, and word count clearly indicated.
Yes, I used the template that you gave us in class.
That is the end of Section 3. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. Section 4. You will hear a lecture about language loss. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen and answer questions 31 to 40.
Good afternoon, everyone. This week, we're going to continue looking at the topic of endangered and extinct languages. In the lecture today, we'll look at some of the causes of the accelerating trend of language loss and consider the question of whether or not this is something that we should be concerned about. So first of all, let's look at some of the possible causes for the disappearance of languages. Colonisation has been a very strong factor. Of the 250 Aboriginal languages that were spoken in Australia before the arrival of settlers from Britain, over 40 are now extinct. Similarly, in the US, 25 of the 176 languages spoken by the native Indian tribes were extinct just 100 years after the first settlers arrived from Europe. Government policy can also contribute to language loss. There have been many instances of legislation implemented in schools and the workplace which can place intense pressure on minority language users to assimilate to the majority language. One well-known example occurred in the Soviet Union during the 1950s, when children from minority populations were deliberately placed in Russian-only boarding schools for 9 months of the year. As a result, the children lost interest and fluency in their native languages. Similarly, in the US, official English-only policies are widespread with legislation such as Proposition 227, which eliminated bilingual education programs. This was a deliberate attempt by the government to stop the growth of Spanish and maintain English as the dominant language. A final cause of language loss is linguistic imperialism. If we look at the way that English is now seen and heard all over the world in advertising, movies, and pop music, then it is easy to understand why for many it has become equated with success and power. Many of those people then want to acquire it, to use as a tool for achieving those things for themselves. So there are some of the main causes for the decline and loss of minority languages. But now, let's turn to the question of whether or not we should be trying to preserve them. One argument for the preservation of the world's languages is known as linguistic relativity. It claims that speakers of different languages actually see and describe the world in quite different ways. According to this theory, the result of losing a language is less variety in the possible ideas that can be expressed by human beings. Secondly, there are a group of theories which come under the heading of cultural pluralism. The argument here is that the loss of the world's languages is just one part of a more general loss of humans' ability to express themselves through their various art forms, their belief systems, and the relationships that they have with others. This argument is more politically powerful than the previous two, because here the public can actually see tangible examples of things that are beautiful and valuable and that are disappearing. The final view I want to discuss today is called the social justice argument. This view holds that we should be interested in preventing the loss of languages because of the human costs to those people who are directly affected. If a group of people lose their language, they also lose part of their personal identity. But perhaps more importantly, language loss can also...
That is the end of Section 4. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. That is the end of the listening test. You now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers onto the answer sheet.